When I was in high school, I stayed away from the home economics classes. My hands were tied up in wood shop and electrical shop. I wouldn't be caught dead in an apron, and besides, my mom did everything for me. Luckily, some of my mom's cooking skills wore off on me, so now I'm a deft hand in the kitchen. If I had to do it all over again, I would have taken any course in high school that had to do with cooking, and I was very pleased to have been asked to speak to a group of BC-based home economics teachers at their annual meeting in West Vancouver. After I talked about my life in food and new trends, I turned the tables on them and gathered three teachers together to chat about what they do and how they are trying to prepare their students for the confusing world of food once they get out on their own. Judy Chan is the chair of the Vancouver Home Economics Teachers Association.
I guess my emphasis is on passion for food, good food, and food that comes particularly locally. I do a lot of my shopping at local farms, and I tell my students that, and to try and show them or teach them appreciation for where the food comes from, because I find that a lot of them still think it comes out of a package or a box. And so I think that's really important right now, to bring a link between where the food comes from, that it's real, how you can mold it, touch it, and really appreciate it, and also the social implications of food.
Denise Lamard teaches students in grades 9 through 12.
And I think for a lot of our students, they have no clue. I mean, I remember a student asking if they wait for the cow to die of old age, and then that's where we get our beef from. And this was just about a year or two ago. I think a lot of them really have no idea how our food is made, where our food comes from, the conditions under which food is created, processed, packaged, delivered. It's just very removed from their day-to-day lives. Most of them probably don't go grocery shopping, so don't even know that aspect of food. It just sort of shows up on their plate, or shows up at the restaurant, or shows up at the fast food place. Really very little understanding.
Joy Gallia teaches in grades 10, 11, and 12, and she's seen some pretty funny reactions over her years in the kitchen classroom.
With my Foods 12 class, I do a section on poultry, and one of the first things that the group of two has to do is cut up the chicken. And that's really interesting, because many of them have never done such a thing. Well, I would say most of them have never done such a thing, but most of them have never handled fresh meat. And wherever it came from, they still don't know what it is. And the icky part of that, that put their hands on to handle, all that stuff is brand new. And it's a fascinating process. And some of them at the end will look at me and say, "We never have to do that again, right?" I'd say, "Yes, but this is good learning."
So some of their students are obviously not learning about shopping and cooking and handling of food from their parents. But Judy Chan says she has seen enrollment increasing in her courses over the past few years, and chalks it up to an increased presence of food in the media.
I think right now the phenomena of cooking shows on the Food Network have increased the interest in foods, and so I think more students are taking foods. And it's really interesting that the Ministry of Education has put this big emphasis on nutrition and healthy foods in school, and yet they don't make a foods and nutrition program at the high school level mandatory.
I hear from a lot of my students about nutrition theories that they may have picked up somewhere, and it's not correct, and that's probably one of the big things that I get. Oh, I hear about this and I hear about that, and they may take it from home or from friends or have gleaned a little bit on the news but don't quite get the whole story. And a foods and nutrition course, not only do they get correct information about nutrition, but also practical information about nutrition. So you've got the theoretical, and then how can you apply it to your everyday lives? So the more students that take it, the better it is for them, because throughout their entire lives they will eat. End of story.
The truism that says you are what you eat is really the basis for what we've been saying, and that's what we teach. That's what home economics education in a classroom is about. When the light comes on for some of the students, once I had a young man who used a pressure cooker to make a stew, and he made his stew in 30 minutes, and he was just thrilled with his final result. He came up to me after class and said, "How do I get one of these things?" And so I explained where he could get one. He said, "That's the first thing I'm buying when I move out."
These teachers are all from British Columbia, and they're all part of the BC Teachers of Home Economics Specialist Association, which has called upon the provincial government to make courses in food and nutrition mandatory at the secondary school level. I'd be interested in hearing what you think about mandatory nutrition courses in BC and in other provinces, especially since young Canadians are part of a growing obesity epidemic. Visit my website to take part in the discussion. That's Food for Thought. I'm Don Genova.